Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 6, entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhas. Text number 13. Ketus Trivikrama Yutas Tripatat Patako.
Ketus Trivikrama Yutas Tripatat Patako.
Yaste Baya Baya Karo Sura Deva Chambu.
Yaste Baya Baya Karo Sura Deva Chambu.
Svargaya Sadu Sukale Svitaraya Bhuman. Pada punatu bhagavan bhajatam magamna.
Pada punatu bhagavan
Ketu, a flagpole. Trivikrama, three mighty steps in conquering Bali Maharaj. In conquering Bali Maharaj. Yuta, adorned by. Tripatas, falling into each of the three planetary systems. Pataka, the flag upon which. Ya, which. Te, your lotus feet. Baya, abaya. Fear and fearlessness. Karaha, creating. Asura Deva, of the demons and the demigods. Chambo, for the respective armies. Svargaya, for the attainment of heaven. Sadhusu, among the saintly demigods and devotees. Kalesu, among the envious. Itaraya, for just the opposite. Bhuman, O most powerful Lord. Pada, the lotus feet. Punatu, may they purify. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhajatam, who are engaged in worshipping you. Agam, the sins. Na, of us. Translation. O omnipotent Lord, in your incarnation as Trivikram, you raised your leg like a flagpole to break the shell of the universe, allowing the holy Ganges to flow down like a banner of victory in three branches throughout the three planetary systems. By three mighty steps of your lotus feet, your lordship captured Bali Maharaj along with his universal kingdom. Your lotus feet inspire fear in the demons by driving them down to hell, and fearlessness among your devotees by elevating them to the perfection of heavenly life. We are sincerely trying to worship you, our Lord. Therefore, may your lotus feet kindly free us from all of our sinful reactions. Purport. In order to reclaim for the demigods the universal kingdom seized by Bali Maharaj, Lord Krishna is described in the 8th canto of this great work, appeared as the beautiful dwarf Ramana Vamana, who extended his foot upward to the outer limits of the universe. When the Lord's leg breached a hole in the universe's shell, the holy Ganges water came flowing into the universe. This scene appeared like an upraised flagpole with a wonderful flowing victory banner. As stated in the Shruti Mantas, Charanam Pavitram Vitatam Puranam Yena Putas Tarati Duskritani. The lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead are most pure, all pervading, and the oldest of all. One who is purified by them crosses over all previous sinful activities. Throughout the universe, the process of worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord is most famous. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yanamana Salakaya Saksuran Militam Yanatas Maisi Gurave Namah Sichaitanamano Vistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Some years ago, and we were in the Amsterdam temple, and suddenly someone put $30,000 into our account, and it was and there was a little message with it from the cosmic warriors. So, well, you know, if someone suddenly puts $30,000 in your account, you sort of go for a visit with a box of prasadam, right? So I went, and when I went to the door of the place, a man came in and he said, he looked around and he said, "Are you alone?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Quick, come in." So I quickly came in, he closed the door, and then he took me inside in the room, and there was a room, it had many televisions all stacked upon each other, like from the floor to the ceiling, a whole wall of TVs. And he said, "Look." So I looked. He said, "You see them?" I said, well, he wanted to hear yes, you know, and since he just gave 30,000, I said, "Yes, I see them." He said, "Yes, there are many." "Quite a few." "Yeah." He said, "Yes, many UFOs." He said, "They're regularly here. There is a lot of activity here. Yeah, especially in the late evening hours." He said, "You can see." And then he showed there were a few little black spots on the screen, you know, which could well be dust on the lens or something like that, right, from the cameras. Anyway, the man had cameras in all directions on his house, watching the UFOs, and he was convinced that there was a great battle going on in the universe. And at least that was one thing he had right. Although the rest looked like something that was a product of his mind, he did understand that there is a battle going on in the universe. It is true that it's not just wonderful on the heavenly planets. And you do so much puja to go to Swarg. It's a big thing to go to Swarg. In many places, the cremation place in India is known as Swargadwar. Swargadwar, the gate to heaven. Swargadwar. So the idea is that, all right, from there, when you leave, you go to the heavenly planets, to Swarg. People want to go to Swarg. Out of the 14 planetary systems, Swarg is in the upper regions. And there, it's wonderful. You have beautiful gardens, beautiful. And even more beautiful ladies. There are, and demigods also are very handsome and powerful. Yeah. So it is a place ready for enjoyment. Wonderful. There is only one little difficulty. That there are demons, and these demons, they try to attack again and again. And the war between the demigods and the demons in the universe is going on. So sometimes it's happening, sometimes it's not happening, sometimes there is that impending threat of war. So, thus it's not just all so heavenly. There are some complications. Just for those who want to go to Swarg, we wish them well. We ourselves let it given in this fight. Yeah, we let it pass. Right. We see here that the demigods are taking shelter of Krishna, for protection. They are taking shelter of Lord Vishnu, who comes and protects them from the demons. It is a fact that there is an order in the universe. There is a plan within the universe. And one gets assigned a particular place according to his behavior within the universe. And these demoniac personalities, they somehow or other left their assigned place and went to the upper regions and captured those upper regions. It was particularly possible because in the upper regions some offenses had been made. Then however the Supreme Lord appeared to restore the original order within the universe. So this is what basically happens also to us. We are placed somewhere according to our behavior. Thus an intelligent person is careful, because an intelligent person understands that I must beware. If I misbehave, I will have to pay for it. I will be degraded. I will be put down into lower regions. That's the result. In other words, you'll go to hell, to say it in more contemporary words. Right? What to do? That is the nature of life. Sometimes people don't believe it. It was 10 o'clock at night and the telephone was ringing. And I never pick up telephones because you get entangled like anything. Usually what happens is they say, can I speak to so-and-so? And you don't know so-and-so and you don't know where they are. So forget it, you know. And most temples don't have an intercom system like Melbourne. Paging, you know. Paging Jitendriya, Jitendriya on line 2. that's the local mantra in Melbourne for as long as I can remember. I don't know. I've been coming for years and it's always paging Jitendriya on line 2. What can I say? Anyway, that's okay. He has a lot of friends. And, yes. So anyway, now I lost it. Where was I? One minute. Where was I going? Yeah, I know that I was at the phone line, but why? Why was I at the phone line? What happened before I picked up the phone? See, I got distracted. Huh? Degradation, Kali Yuga. Yeah, thanks. People don't believe they're going to go to hell. Thank you very much. That was it. Yes. And so I picked up the phone this time, and at late night, there is this lady, and she says, "It's not true. It's not true." I said, calm down, it's not so bad. She said, "No, it's not true. I met this very nice person in the street and, you know, and I bought this book and then I read it and this book basically says that all my family members are going to hell." I said, like, well, you know, I mean, does it really say your family members? I mean, well, it says that anybody who drinks and eats meat is going to hell. I said, well, that's true. I said, like that, but you know, no, it's not true. I mean, it cannot be true that all my family is going to hell. I said, that's not so bad, you know. Calm down. She was really upset about it. And it is shocking that this is possible, that our dear most ones are on the way to hell. What are we going to do about it? Therefore, a lot of people have decided, I just don't believe in hell. I don't believe in it. I think that this is just some sort of medieval some evil thing, some invention from the priest to squeeze more money out of the people. And if you sinners, if you don't repent today, you will burn in hell. But there is only one option for you. Yes, you give something today. Donation giving now, or else burn. In India, they have used similar tactics, right? And I guess the collection was quite all right. So they kept it up for a while, and therefore a lot of people think that hell is just some imaginary thing. Of course, you know, today, just to enliven you early in the morning, oh, Mr. Latecomer, we are talking about hell. Are you okay? Fasten your seatbelt. So, yes, it is true. There is a hell. And not one. There are many. All kinds of varieties. Yes, it is fun. For politicians, there is a hell where they stitch their skin with needles and threads. Since they are weaving webs of politics, they get those webs right stitched through their skin. For the sex maniac, there are red hot iron forms of his sex object which he can embrace. The alcoholic can drink hot lead. That's a good one. Many nice varieties are there. And there is a planet, you thought it was hot here, right, in Melbourne. I mean, you haven't seen anything yet. There is a copper planet, and there are no trees, so no forest fires, but it is so hot that the whole surface is hot, and there's no shelter. Garam, 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 bahut garam. Very hot. In India, they always say, garam, garam, bahut garam. That's the sort of Indian thing, you know. You keep on saying it. Oof, garam, garam, bahut garam. Hot, hot, very hot. So, what? Yes. Some people are leaving quick. While it's still possible. I think they are right, you know. But talking about all this hell business, it's whether you believe it or not, the lady didn't believe me who rang on the phone. But we see that hell already exists here on this planet. The other day, I saw a video of what teenagers in Australia have to go through. And it's too much, you know, it's too much. This teenager was speaking and said, like, you know, I mean, it's so austere. I'm suffering like anything. You know, I have an iPod with only 1 gig. Can you imagine? And on Saturday, my parents go shopping and they load up the whole car, and we, the kids, we have to unload the car and carry all that groceries right through the house to the kitchen. Oh, boy, it's a heavy life. It's a heavy life in Australia. The hardships that the youth of Australia is going through today is not easy. So who says there is no hell on this planet? Yes, there is. Can you imagine an iPod with only 1 gig? Yes. So, in this way, Yes, and then they showed children in Vietnam, right? And how the children in Vietnam were playing with like old bomb shells that they were finding in the forest and things like this, you know. And just, and that like they were getting a little polenta, you know, on for lunch, and that was it, right? And things like that, something very basic. And it was a nice little clip, you know, somewhere. Sorry, I forgot the name of it. It's on YouTube. Somebody showed it to me. So hell does exist on this planet, in so many places. There's no doubt about it. Hell exists in Australia, 30 meters high and 200 degrees hot or more, whatever, coming at 100 k's an hour. If that's not hell, then what is it? So why do we think there is no hell when it's already here? It's like we don't have to go far. And then it describes that there are different planets in the universe of different natures, and that some planets are heavenly, and that some planets are worse than this one. Well, that's why not? That's not so hard to believe. Huh? When there are plants that are not vegetarian, right, in the world, then why not? You know, plants, and you walk past. You get eaten alive in South America, in the jungle. So, you know, for a change, instead of us eating the plants eating us. In other words, karma is there, and it comes around in so many ways. In so many ways. Just even being a vegetarian is not free from karma. One who eats a lot of vegetables could one day, by karma, have to go through the ordeal of being eaten by a plant. Thus only prasadam, only prasadam. Yagyasista sino santo mucchante sarvakil visai. Only yagyasista, only remnants of sacrifice must be taken, because only that is free from karma. So everyone gets caught up in karma and gets what he deserves. And then you see sometimes a mix. I remember J.F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, what karma he had. Took birth in one of the richest families of the world, saw his father being shot in front of his eyes and so on. Then anyway, got over that with millions and millions and millions of dollars, and lived in total opulence. But then at early age, late 30s, he crashed with his plane into the ocean. A combination of good and bad karma, one might say. Right? So a little heaven in his life and a little hell in his life. Yes. So because we are having both. Everyone likes to think of himself as being good. Right? I'm good. I have very good intentions. You know, basically, I'm a good person. I'm trying to do good in the world. Nobody thinks of himself. I am a demon. Right? I'm a total demon. While they devour a chicken or two, they think I am a nice person. While they look at the little rabbit that of the devotee child, and they say something, that would make good stew. I heard yesterday. Yeah. Jnana Samudra has a rabbit. And so like that, we see that in this world, people create their own reactions. It's a matter of, it comes around. When I first came to Australia, they put me out on collection and the pig, as it's called, and they sent me out to a nice area in town, and I had to sell paintings, and I was walking around with paintings, that's what they arranged, and then I saw a sign and it said, Blood and Bones, $20. So I was like, see, walking in this factory area, it says, Blood and Bones, $20. I said, what is this, you know?
blood? Bones? Whose blood? Whose bones?
I felt a little uncomfortable. And next day, I go into this my first factory to show the paintings, and it's a place where they slaughter chickens. And they're chopping, a man was chopping heads and putting bodies in bins. Oh, sorry, no, heads in bins and bodies on conveyor belts. Right? And, well, I showed him the paintings, and he bought also. And the money was, I didn't know if I wanted to touch it, you know, it's like full of blood. And anyway, I took it. Thanks, you know. That was a nice... I know people are leaving like anything this lecture. And when I walked out of that place, there was a chicken on the outside of the fence trying to get in. I told him, run, chicken, run! Didn't listen. Yeah. So, you know, what do you think you get for working in that part of Melbourne called Leverton? I did every factory there. Tens of thousands of sheepskins drying, covered in millions of flies, the stench, you know. And then the hortico, oh my God, the hortico, they have this big kettle which is steaming and fuming and bubbling, a huge thing. And then there's bins full of heads and legs and tails and things and everything. And that goes in there and makes gelatine which goes in certain toothpaste. Or yeah, in the toothpaste or in your yogurt, Colgate. And nice skin lotion. Good, you smear it on your body, you know. So it's very healthy. It gives you vitamin E. It makes you youthful and renews your skin. Yes, it does. Really nice. Anyway. And with each little bit of beauty cream, you get more beautiful and one step closer to that particular place where, you know, yes, where you go. And so on and so on. This is the nature of things. So the demons are pushed down. Anyway, enough about hell now. I think you have sort of registered it, and I hope, you know, you can sleep tonight. So let's turn around and go for the heavenly planets. It is wonderful. It's wonderful there. You can enjoy so much. It is said that the bodies of the ladies are cooling in the warm summer. It says in Bhagavatam. Can you imagine? That tempts the mind of many men. So, like that, the heavenly planets are full of varieties of enjoyment which by far exceed what we can get here. But mrityu sarva arasyatam, or punya, what is it? Ksine punya ksine mrityu lokam visanti, that again we have to come down. We have to come down to this material world. I have a feeling that I'm going to be completely alone at the end of this lecture. And that there will be nobody left. Yeah. No, it's not like that. Because, I mean, we're going now on the positive note. Was it ever coming? Yes, it was. The positive note is that devotional service changes it all around very quickly. Even someone who was destined to go down, his destination immediately changed. Immediately changed. Even the most fallen, degraded person, a little bit of devotional service, immediately saved from lower birth, from lower destination. Just a little bit of devotional service. Saved from hell. Saved. Cannot happen. Not possible. That is the potency of devotional service. Immediately. Immediately saved from an animal birth. It will not happen. Just one little bit of prasadam. It is amazing. I was in Rotterdam, which is a rotten place, and it was bombed flat in the war, and they have all these ugly, ugly, cold, modern architecture. And it's a port, low-class place, lots of drug addicts, lots, full of junkies, and they come. And they go, hey man, hey man, give me something, hey man, you know, hey man. So we were on the way to a program, standing at the bus stop. I don't give anything to drug addicts, you know, at least no money, no way, right? So the guy came and he was begging. And well, I'd been in India, and in India you sort of learn how to deal with beggars, right? So I know how to get rid of a beggar. You just make a very cold face. You don't look him in the eye, and you just go like... Yeah. That usually, you know, even the most staunch beggar gives up after that, you know. So I used my Indian trick on him, and it worked well. Immediately, the guy just went away. And then I was with a new bhakta. And then just while the beggar left, the new bhakta calls the beggar back. He said, come, come. I said, oh, no. A new bhakta. And he goes, I have something for you. And then, you know, it was evening time, and this bhakta, he pulls out a little piece of apple from breakfast prasada, completely brown and everything, and he holds it up and he says, here, look. And the junkie is looking, and he's sort of looking, what is this? And then the devotee said, open your mouth. And the guy opened his mouth, and he just popped the apple right in there. And sure enough, he gave him human birth. Human birth he gave him. Practice bhakti yoga for 2 weeks and you can give human birth. Pretty good. Pretty good, isn't it? I mean, we can advertise like that. It's powerful, bhakti yoga. Just a little piece of brown apple from breakfast prasadam. That was enough to do the trick. And to save that man from having to have a furry skin and tail, because he was on the way to be an animal. Something like that. He's definitely losing his human birth. Yeah. So, in this way, the positive note is definitely the Hare Krishna movement. It is so powerful. Srila Prabhupada once said that when the Harinam party goes through the street, it doesn't just change all the people that are hearing the holy name. No, it changes the street itself. And anybody who goes afterwards through that street gets purified. Can one just imagine the potency of this movement? We are part of a movement that is so powerful, and we have no idea ourselves how powerful it is. And we walk around and we say, oh, this process of bhakti yoga is so difficult. I don't know how I can possibly bring it to completion. It goes so slow. No. The opposite, rather. The opposite. It is so potent. Prabhupada said, on one occasion, he said, we don't need microphone. He said, we are just using the microphone to purify the microphone maker. Yeah? We don't need a microphone. But, Mr. Sure. Yeah? Mr. Sure. Yeah? It's Sure, or it's Sony, or somebody. Just gets purified. And then, if that's the case, can you imagine all the people that work in the factory get purified? The people that worked in the factory that made this microphone get purified. Then it's not only the mic, then it's everything. The man who carved this little table, purified. Yes. Those who dug this marble out of the mine, purified. Everything. When our little children are riding around on their tricycles, they purify the three worlds. That is the situation. Just see the potency of this movement. It is like that. But we don't realize it. We don't realize it. And we see spiritual life as a struggle, not realizing that we're just being showered with mercy, with buckets. Right? It's raining down. It's just coming down on us. And we say, oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It rains buckets of mercy. So this movement is really the movement that can save everyone from suffering. Suffer from hellish conditions. Yes. And that is, therefore, it's important. It is, there's an urgency. But the world doesn't know. I was reading this morning, it got really late last night in that program, and I came home at 10 past 12. And then, by the time I was in bed, it was like close to 12:45, and so it's like, and then, funny enough, I had given a lecture to the brahmacharis, about getting, at 5 o'clock, about getting up early, right? And, and then they were asking me questions about it, and they said, like, well, sometimes you get home from a from a program, should we then still go to Mangalarti? So I had said, well, it's best if you go, right? So, at 12:45, you sort of become tempted to think, well, maybe this time it's legitimate to let it go. But not after such a lecture. So Krishna really got me. I could see Krishna. Just as my mind was sort of playing with the thought, maybe today, Krishna had already arranged it. No, there is no maybe today. So, a confirmation. Okay. So I went. But I must admit that this time I did have a little nap after Mangalarti, which I generally don't like to do. So I was thinking, boy, I have to give a class and with an Avachanita around, and it's going to be one of those days. So let me at least read something before I go down, just to get my mind on the spiritual track. So I read a page, and what I read was interesting. It was describing, it said, Krishna Svadamo Bhagati Dharma Gyanadi Visaha Kalonastadrisam, that in this age of Kali, the Kalonastadrigan Eka Puranaku Dunoditaha, that in this age of Kali, when Krishna left for his transcendental abode, Dharma and knowledge left with him, and then the age of Kali began. So it was at that point that the age of Kali started, and it said there, Srila Jiva Goswami was commenting and was explaining that, it said, yes, Kali Yuga entered, he entered the minds of the people whose intelligence was asleep. He said, just like a thief goes into the places where people are asleep, and there he can enter and steal so many things. But when you are awake, then the thief will give you a miss. So I thought that was nice, that Kali entered in those who had sleeping intelligence. That was interesting. It is not, although the age of Kali is there, Kali can only enter into the consciousness of those whose intelligence is sleeping. So if the intelligence is wide awake, one can be saved from Kali. That was interesting. Yes. Talking about thieves and all this, I came home then at 10 past 12, and what I didn't tell is that I went out to the bathroom, and then I somehow or other forgot the key. I spaced out. I thought I had the key, but it was something else in my pocket. And I closed the door, click. It was like, and I was locked out, right, in the middle of the night, and everyone's sound asleep, and I thought, I mean, what am I going to do now, you know? So I became a burglar in the middle of the night. I lived at the window, climbed outside the building, was hanging off of the building, somehow or other, you know, got in between the window, and just got it open, you know, and got inside. Thank God. Yeah. So, I had quite some adventures I had here last night. What to say? Yeah, that's why this lecture is a little funny this morning. What can I say? You can't imagine after all that. But still, there is a message in this talk, and the message is quite is a positive message, that devotional service is so powerful it can save us, surely. So we must have great faith and great enthusiasm in devotional service. It is that which is the purpose of this lecture, to point out, you know, we must have great faith in that it will bring about tremendous results. And devotional service, therefore, is never based on material calculation. See, in the material world, it's like, well, I know myself, and I know my limits, and I know how far I can push myself. Yes, I know. And I know if I push too hard, that I will suffer. So I'm not going to push myself beyond my limits. No. I know myself. Huh? Does your mind do it too? Huh? Well, I just can't do this. No, I can't. No, I really can't do this. I know I can't. I know. And in this way, we limit ourselves. We say, I can't do this, I can't do that. But it doesn't apply in devotional service. It doesn't. Because it changes. Right? Our limits change very fast. And what are our limits today are no longer limits tomorrow. And Krishna empowers his devotees, and then anything becomes possible. And thus, ananyas-cintiyantamam yedanafayupasate tisam nichavayuktanam yogakshemabhaniya. Krishna literally gives the devotees what they lack and preserves what they have. So, thus again, faith. It's about faith. It's about faith in this process that it can, that we will be able to overcome ourselves. Do you also have some doubt sometimes? Oh, not doubt that Krishna is God. That kind of doubt is rare amongst devotees. Most devotees don't have that. Doubt in Prabhupada, no, it must be somebody who is a little strange who has that problem. Doubt in the process of bhakti, not really, but doubt in ourselves. Doubt that we can actually do it. Do you also have that sometimes? That doubt. Yeah? Huh? They think, I don't know. Can I really make it? Is it for me? Is it me? Everybody sometimes has that doubt. And even those who are so fired up and so enthusiastic, they have their moments that they too look at themselves in the mirror and think, can I really live up to this? Is it not too high? Well, so the answer today is that, you know, don't worry. We will be transformed. Yes? Maybe we are too weak today, but we'll be strong tomorrow, because this process will change us. Nobody is born with spiritual strength. It's not that some are constitutionally spiritually strong. It's a genetic thing, Prabhu. Some are genetically spiritually strong and some are genetically out of it. I can't do anything about it, you know, Prabhu. It's my genes, right? What can I do? I'm forced to act like this. No, this is bogus. This is bogus. We are never forced. We are never forced by our conditioning. Krishna consciousness liberates us every step of the way from our conditioning. And thus, we can have great faith that we will do things that now seem impossible, but it will be done tomorrow, without a doubt. Our future, the future is very, very bright. Very bright. It's amazing. And if you don't believe it, well, I am the living proof, you know. How could I be a sannyasi? I mean, me? Not possible. Really, believe me. I know how it used to be, you know. I mean, that wasn't exactly where I was at. But somehow or other, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is possible. It is said that different birds are flying on different levels in the sky. And thus, different devotees are flying on different levels of realization in spiritual life. But there are some birds on this planet, they don't fly. Right? They just run around. That's the kind of birds that we are. Like chickens. They don't fly. They flap a little their wings and then come back down. But I'm telling you, by this movement, we are becoming flying chickens. That's it. Flying chicken. You may have never thought of yourself like a flying chicken, but now you know. You know. That's actually possible through this movement. So we should never think, oh well, I'm just a chicken. What can I do? I mean, what can I do? I'll never fly. No. Flying chickens, we will see through this movement. Yes. Okay, enough is enough. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. I took you from the hellish planets to flying chickens. And I hope that you found it interesting and entertaining. You can now relax and sit back and throw things at me as long as it's not too heavy. Any questions? Any comments?
After that ecstatic eating last night, everybody was dancing.
Yeah, they did that also.
I like to know how in devotional service there is something backing and bending. Sometimes we are very ecstatic, sometimes we are very low. So is it anartha or something else?
Sometimes up, sometimes down. Yeah, that means we are under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Of course, in the spiritual world, there is also different levels of ecstasy. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by waves of ecstasy, and other times the ecstasy may be of another nature. It's not constant. It also has peak experiences, so there are also waves. So the waves in the material world, in our experiences, are reflections of the spiritual world. But here, the waves that we are experiencing are waves of inspiration and waves of depression. Right? I'm a loser, I'm never going to make it, and this spiritual life is too difficult, and then the next time you're dancing. It's so nice. And then again, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know. Maybe I just can't make it. And then there are sensitive topics like fall down, you know, at the moments of difficulty and so on. And they are very discouraging, and then the boys think, maybe I should just give up. Right? But no, that is not required. That's not required. Krishna doesn't take these things so serious. All right, anyway, carry on. Lord Chaitanya is not going to make a big case, you know. I mean, carry on, OK? carry on. So gradually we'll become fixed, and gradually we will not go so deep anymore. So first, when we go down, we go deep down to the mode of ignorance or passion. So when you go down to ignorance or passion, then regulative principles go out of the window and God knows what happens. But later, we come down, we go up and down between transcendence and the mode of goodness. So that's all right. Sometimes we are in transcendental ecstasy, and then other times we come down a little from the transcendental ecstasy, then we rest on the mode of goodness. And then from there we practice nicely our spiritual things, and then we wait for the next time that we jump up in ecstasy, like that. So this is the art. We may come down, but we should not come down below the mode of goodness, which means prescribed duty, that we take shelter. So we must get into the habit of taking shelter. Therefore Prabhupada said, surrender means to surrender to all the small things. One must surrender to all the small little things. See, we think, I can't be bothered, you know, it's like I walk in the temple 4 or 5 times, like, I mean, the candle for my basis 4 or 5 times, I mean, you know, just in and out, I mean, you know, I don't worry about it. No, every time, one must be strict on all the little things. You eat with your left hand, big deal, you know, you're eating and you grab something out of the bucket, nobody's around. Okay, no, you must be strict. Right. All the small things. Because, you know, say, I'm so tired, I'm too tired to offer my obeisances before I go to sleep. No! You must offer your obeisances before you go to sleep. All the small things. To bath at night, you know, I'm not going to bother to put tilak, you know, nobody's going to see it anyway. Right? And, oh yes, maybe the Yamadutas will see it. Right? It might be useful if you're lying there and there's some tilak. Oops, so better put it anytime. Right. So, in these little things, if we are strict, then we build up all together all these things, right? Make us take shelter. Right? So, we take shelter of all these little things, and that will give us all together a whole package of shelter. And our whole spiritual life hangs on all these little things. So in that way, by taking shelter of all the little aspects of prescribed duty in Krishna consciousness, one can be fixed in the mode of goodness. So we must learn all these little things. Then when we go down, we will not go below the mode of goodness. Like that. Anybody else? Yes. What to do? Most of us have at one point in our life done such activities. Well, we can remember that was not so good, and that we must have accrued a lot of bad karma actually. That's good to remember. And that somehow or other we are saved from that bad karma by our devotional service. But it's good to remember a little bit from this was actually a very cruel and ignorant thing to do. So that we never do it again. But then devotional service will wipe it all off. Just like that. So it's behind us. Is behind us now. So let's go forward. But sometimes we look back a little bit and think like, well, I mean, I was actually a demon. Yeah, I can think of it. I was a demon. And my mother was a demon. I know, it's hard to say, Mom, you're a demon. Even to yourself, my mother is a demon. Right? Especially in the Hindi movie, you know, Ma! There's a big thing, you know. Ma Asura Hai. I have to be careful now. There may be repercussions. I need a bodyguard. Okay. This could. This is ma apparat. It's very serious. It's even worse than maha apparat. It's ma apparat. It's the biggest apparat. Okay. Anyway, so we will. But this is the fact. We were demons, actually.
Yeah.
We were living like demons. Meat eating means demon. Asura, rakshasa. Yeah. Sorry. Of course, you were not the only one. So we were in good company. But then sometimes there's a devotee, he or she comes from a family, we were vegetarian from birth, yes. My family for 27 generations has been vegetarian. And we worship the deity of Krishna in our family for 777 years. And yes, we are devotee. We are Brahmin also. Yes, Brahmin we are. And like this, and then they walk around and they automatically think they are a little bit superior to the other devotees. But even if you had piety before, punya is never enough. Such punya will take us to Swarg. Who wants to go to Swarg after this lecture? Yeah? I don't think anybody after this lecture wants to go to Swarg. So all your punya will take you to Swarg, and then it will run out, and then punya ksine marcha lokam visanti. Then you have to come down again to marcha lokam, to this world. So your punya will not save you. So don't be too proud of punya, because pride is something the Supreme Lord cannot tolerate. Krishna says, I cannot tolerate pride. That is one thing he doesn't tolerate. So therefore one must be careful about that. Even if the birth was good and pious, one should still think, well, yes, but I was still sinful. I was still sinful. And even for taking birth in this world, that is sinful. That is already, that means one must be sinful. So. And taking birth in Kali Yuga means everybody is fallen. So let us not become proud. Pride itself is a sinful mentality. So we are humble and think, no, somehow or other we have the good fortune of devotional service. Then we can be saved. Any other question? You have all the questions.
And tell them, would you like to tell us how you join ISKCON?
Oh. It's a long story, actually, if I really go for it. If I go for it, it's a 1 hour story. And the short story is basically that I saw these Hare Krishnas. They came in my town in a gray van, and a back door flapped open. It was a Bedford van, and all these little pink men came out. Too many for one van. So I became very suspicious of it. How is this? Where are they from? Then they made a line in the street and came into my direction. I quickly went into a shop and I looked from behind the window, and someone next to me said, "It's a dangerous sect." And I thought, boy, they sure look dangerous. 3 months later, I saw them on television. And one of them was explaining what their teachings were. And he said, no meat, fish or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. Then I knew they were dangerous. Confirmed. So I avoided them like anything. And in those days, you could easily see the Hare Krishnas in the street because they had wigs on, you know.
So you see these guys, a guy with a wig, you know, goes, okay, there's a Hare, right?
So I did the same thing I used to do to the Indian beggars, you know, the cold face, the stare into outer space, and it worked fine, you know. No book distributor ever stopped me. The result was that I didn't get involved with the devotees, was that I got involved with the material energy. And that means sooner or later there is a girl. And yes, there she was. And I also. Anyway, so I got this girlfriend, and then the girlfriend had a dog. And the dog's name was Krishna. What can you do? And then I was walking around with this dog at night, every night. And this dog didn't want to come back. So I was just calling out, Krishna! Krishna! So every night I was doing Harinam around the dog. That's how it happened. Then it was just a matter of time. A few more points. So, it is said that the spiritual master who first chose you to pass is a Vagma Padarsha Guru. So my Vagma Padarsha Guru was a dog. Krishna sends you a guru on your own level. Yes. Huh? Holland, I'm from Holland. Holland, Karine Malahon. What? I was in Australia for a while, yes, I sure have been there, done that, mate. That was also intense, because I came from, I was in Vrindavan for many years, and then I got malaria 12 times in 1 year. Each time takes 2 weeks to recover, so half the year it was knockout with malaria. I'd become skinny like anything. I was below 60 kilos, which is nothing for me, you know. So Bhavananda said, go to Australia, it's a healthy place. So I went. And I came here in Melbourne, in this temple, and the first thing I saw, that the sparrows were twice as fat as in India. I knew it's a good place to come. You know? But then, in Melbourne, the thing about Melbourne is that in Melbourne everything is on a roster, you know? And I found that a little difficult, you know? I found that just a little difficult, that roster, right? So, you know, after a little while, somebody said, if you want, you can go to the farm. I said, yep, I'll go to the farm. So I went to the farm, and that was also quite something, because I came on the farm and then they said, okay, mate, we're going to the paddock. And I go, the paddock? Right? I looked in my dictionary of Australian lingo, and it meant the field, right? So, okay, we're going to the paddock, right? So I'm on the paddock with two devotees wearing dust coats and floppy hats and everything, and one of them says to me, okay, mate, here's your shovel. So I go, okay, here's my shovel. And then the guy looks at me and he says, all right, mate, move your hoofs. And, you know, I mean, I looked down at my feet and I thought, do I have hoofs? And it was a shock because before I was staying in Vrindavan and there you have lotus feet, you know. I went overnight to hoofs. That's like, really? I had come to Australia, you know? Culture shock, right? I can tell you more Aussie stories. It can even get more Aussie than that. But I don't know if I should do that from the Vyasa Sutta. So I tell you the real Oka story from the in the corridor later on, right? For those who want to hear it, you know. Yeah. I've done every, no, not painting job, selling paintings, mate. flogging all paintings, mate. I've been down there in every flaming place in Australia, mate. Right? every country town, every pub, you know, today, mate, they're showing around some paintings, some old paintings, right? They want to have a look, roll them up. Great, how you doing? Yeah, no worries, she'll be right. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, what to do? Yeah, if you and all that, you know, we used to have here in front of Prabhupada at Guru Puja time, the reading of the scores, right? And this one, you know, 400 Lakshmi points, that one 600 Lakshmi points, that one 1200 Lakshmi points, you know, some of the big guns, right? And, you know, some small timers, 50 Lakshmi points, clunk, clunk, clunk. And then, you know, some big reading of the scores and so on. And I remember something like 45 grand a week, right, in the 80s, something like that. That's what I remember. I mean, maybe it was more sometimes. So, and that all went into this temple. And thus, Dhanvantari made all those pillars here in this temple, right? And so many other things were done here in Melbourne from that collection. So lots of devotees actually have in the past worked hard, and now we enjoy. So we may look at those paintings, oh boy, is that what you were all doing? But actually, it paid so many things that were developed here. The end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.